Hello, hello, and welcome to School Leader Soundbites. This is your podcast for all things communications in the K-12 space. I'm your host, Veronica Sofer, and I have the pleasure of coming to you every week and talking about all the things I love about how to grow our communication strategy and strength in our school district. So today we're going to be talking about crisis communication, ensuring trust and safety. So a couple of things we're going to hit on today, okay? We're going to talk about rapid response, maintaining trust, and reputation management. But before we get started, I'm going to take care of some housekeeping by reminding you to hit subscribe. We don't want you to miss any episodes of School Leader Soundbites. If you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, make sure you drop me some comments so I can get back to you with any questions you might have or suggestions for upcoming episodes. So let's go ahead and dive right in, talking about crisis communication. So I paired this topic specifically around ensuring trust and safety. Safety is oftentimes the trigger for when we start working on an issue or a crisis and actually treat it like a crisis. Sometimes it can be an internal crisis, sometimes it can be external, but more times than not, it revolves around safety, which is why I wanted to have this conversation today. I work with school districts all over the country, and no matter where I'm at, it's pretty much the same thing. We've got to have a plan in place when dealing with a crisis, whether it's leadership change, whether it is a fire or some sort of violent issue on one of our campuses or in our administration building. And so there's some things I want to talk through to make sure you've got a strong plan in place. So before I dig in too much, I want to share with you some really great information that I found in a recent study. PwC, they did a global crisis and resilience survey in 2023, and it highlighted the importance of resiliency and proactive response to these kinds of disruptions, regardless of whether it was on a campus or outside of the campus, but it disrupted what was happening in an organization. And so what this study suggested is that organizations need to focus on building resiliency and thriving in a constant state of crisis. And COVID-19 was a really good opportunity for us to figure out what we had in place and what we didn't have in place to get us through some of these crises. So we want to talk about having a strategic approach to resiliency, what it means for the executive leadership team, how we upskill our communications team, and how we generate resources more efficiently and more effectively using the technology that we already have. So in this study that PwC released, and I'll go ahead and make sure it's available in the show notes for you to take a look at, they suggested a couple of things that we can all be doing to make sure we are ready for a crisis. So let's talk through what that looks like. Rapid response was the first thing I wanted to touch on. And rapid response in the K-12 space is really important because we're oftentimes talking about what's happening with our students during the school day. Parents are at work, they might be getting texts or messages from their students directly in the building. They might be saying, hey mom, we're evacuating the building. I don't know what's going on. The teacher isn't telling us. Or can you call to see if this is a drill? So unlike how we practiced crises in the past in the K-12 space, what we're having to deal with now is instant communication and instant video, which actually can create additional concern for parents who are not on the campus and are not experiencing it with their students. So rapid response is incredibly important. Even if we don't have information to release, we need to let parents know that there is a situation on a campus, that it's being handled, that law enforcement is on the way, that we've got first responders on the campus, the fire is being addressed immediately, we're following our protocols. We want to let parents know that we are on top of it and that we're going to be coming back to them. So oftentimes, I'm always suggesting that school districts timestamp those messages that are going out so that parents know which one's the latest. Because if they're getting it on Facebook versus getting it on Twitter or X, formerly known as Twitter, or they're going to the direct website, we don't have control as to which content they're receiving in that moment. So you want to timestamp them so they can go back and take a look and see what's the latest and make sure that it's, if it's new information, that it's available to them in their feed. So timestamping those are really important. And then reminding them of where you update first. So if you update first on X, then put that in the response on their website. Please check Twitter, as this is where we're putting our information. Or please check Facebook. If you are using an emergency notification system, which most of us have in school districts, make sure you let them know texts will be forthcoming. We will keep you updated. Give them an expectation of what you plan to do so that they feel comforted in knowing that you've got a plan and that you're following it. And that's going to lead us directly into maintaining trust. Maintaining trust during a crisis is so important, especially when we're talking about student safety. And how we maintain it is we use clear, concise messaging. We don't have flowery verbiage. We don't add a lot of adjectives. In a crisis, we've got limited bandwidth and limited amount of time to communicate our facts because parents want to know it now. So be direct, be clear, be transparent, or as transparent as you can be. Make sure you are working in cooperation with law enforcement or first responders, whoever's on the scene, so that the information you are releasing is in alignment to what they're releasing out on their channels as well. And just remember that media has access to those emergency channels and they're monitoring them as well. So when media is reporting something and you're reporting something completely contradictory to there, there's gonna be a lack of trust. And oftentimes that lack of trust falls on the school system and not the media. So we wanna make sure that our messages are clear, they're transparent, and more importantly, they're consistent. They're coming out every 10 to 15 minutes, especially when you're in the heat of a crisis and we don't know what's happening and students are still on your campuses or in your care. And you also want to make sure that you're letting parents know that you're taking care of the basics, like lunch. Lunch will be served at the high school instead of the elementary school, or we are busing students over to one of the other campuses to make sure that students are getting their lunches. We expect to return back to the building once we've been given the all clear by the fire department. Whatever the scenario is, make sure parents know that their students are being taken care of with their basic needs. Food, access to the restrooms, and access to any other resources that they may need. This is also really important for our elementary students, especially if you have an after-school care program on that campus, that you let parents know what to expect for dismissal, or the after-school program will not be affected once we're released back into the building. Whatever those scenarios are, make sure that you're sharing them as often as you can so that they can be reinforced. And then reputation management. That's really, really important. Before we dive into reputation management, though, this is a great time to remind our listeners and our viewers about our very generous podcast sponsors, K-12 Insight. They do a fantastic job of supporting our podcast to make sure that we get good content out there for all of our viewers and our listeners. K-12 Insight has a wonderful tool called Let's Talk. I've used it in all the districts I have served as a chief communications officer in, and it allows you to have two-way communication. And in a crisis, this is a wonderful way to make sure you are addressing all of the needs of the parents, because they also have some great resources like a chat bot that's automated that you can quickly communicate back to family. So if you want to know more about K-12 Insight and all the resources that they have available to you, make sure you check them out at k12insight.com/SOPHER and let them know that Veronica sent you over to talk to them. So coming back to reputation management, again, having great tools is important, but before we have great tools to communicate with people, we want to mitigate some of that negativity. And how we mitigate negative perceptions, especially in a crisis, is by letting people know that we have a plan in place, that we're following the plan, that this is a plan that we have practiced over and over again, whether on the campuses or at central office or in partnership with local law enforcement. Anytime you are doing some professional development, local law enforcement on crisis communication, or maybe you're bringing FEMA in or one of the other emergency response organizations, highlight that. Let parents know that this is something you practice diligently and repeatedly so that if something were to happen, there's some muscle memory there and everyone is operating with a system and a protocol that they've already practiced. Okay, that's a great way to mitigate some of the negative perceptions when you're in the middle of a crisis. And then of course, highlighting your strengths. That's another great way to get ahead of any negativity that's out there. Highlighting your law enforcement, highlight how many training hours your staff have gone through, highlight how much your students practice these drills, how often they practice these drills and how successfully they do it. Now, if your state requires some additional drills and that's built into what you have to do as a school system, let parents know how you perform and how you are in compliance with some of these requirements. It's always a good time to highlight what you're doing to prepare for a crisis and the systems that you have in place. I also like to remind folks annually especially at the beginning of the year, that the school system does meet regularly with the local law enforcement, local first responders, with the city council, and that you do have important conversations about safety and how to respond to them. So if that's something that your school system is doing, make sure people know it, highlight it. This is a great way to mitigate some of that negative backlash that might happen after a crisis. And remember, too, that there is always something to learn from a crisis. It will never go perfectly, but it is a wonderful opportunity for you to look back at what you did well, assess where you can make improvements, and let parents know that you've done that. We're always looking to grow. We know that we want to encourage that in our student learners. And so we absolutely want to encourage that in our school leaders as well. So make sure we're taking the opportunity to share what we've learned, lessons learned after a crisis. So if this is something you think you need help with, if you don't already have a crisis communication plan in place, or you haven't been drilling them, or you want to bring somebody in to facilitate some great preparation, some great drills, make sure you get into my DMs, send me a message, let me know how my team and I can come and help. We actually work with school districts all over the country on these kinds of strategies to make sure that we're all ready for crisis. And we also have a bank of resources, including crisis communication templates that you can access from our trainings that will really help you expedite. So those are just a few things I want you to keep in mind. Crises are never fun, but they are something we can prepare for. They are something that we can mitigate ahead of time and make sure that we are practicing our protocols, practicing all the drills and the plans that we have in place. And then we want to make sure that we're leveraging them to earn trust in our community. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up this episode of School Leader Soundbites, reminding you to hit subscribe if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast. We want to make sure you get all these great gems. Share them with your staff, share them with other leaders in the K-12 space so that they can benefit from it as well. So with that, I'm going to sign off. And if you have any questions, make sure you send me a message. I'll be happy to connect, and we will catch you next time on School Leader Soundbites.